I am a man stuck at zero point as a result of indefinite antagonistic forces of indefinite time, somewhere at the edge of middle age, a man stepping down to the gates of an ancient town, to the basin of fog and smoke, 100 times cursed, 100 times praised, 100 times conquered. Hello and welcome to Czech Books. I've just read part of the prologue of a poetry collection called Prague Destroyed by Rain by the poet Vítě Janota. Its subtitle is Praga Caput Regni, the ancient Latin motto of the city. There's a long tradition of poets writing about Prague, for example, Jaroslav Seifert and Vítězslav Nezval, and I was interested to find out how contemporary, rapidly changing Prague has inspired one of the most interesting poets of the younger generation to find new ways to express the spirit of the city. Vítě Janota's collection is a contemplation of various areas of Prague, from Wenceslas Square and the Jewish Quarter in the centre, to the tower blocks, or so-called panelaki, of the suburbs. And I went to such a suburb in Stodulky to meet with Vít in his home to find out more about his poetry. I began by asking him why he chose to write about the city.
Actually, I was born in Prague, and I live in the city for more than 35 years. And Prague is changing really a lot in recent 20 years. Of course, after 1989, quite big changes started in our country, and also the city of Prague is changing a lot, because the Prague of my childhood was a little bit grey city, something like zombie, I would say. It was alive, but still a little bit dead. There were warehouses and then cheap pubs in the centre, and almost no tourists, and it changed dramatically. Prague is now changing into a modern, contemporary city. All this Disneyland for tourists in centre and all this. It's inevitable, I know it, but I'm somehow a little bit nostalgic. I just wanted to preserve the memory of the old Prague and somehow deal with what happens now.
Is this nostalgia the result of so many changes happening so intensely in such a short period? Because you're still a young man to be writing poems that have this real intensity and weight and impact in terms of this nostalgic kick they have.
Of course, it's a special time now in Prague. It was like frozen for some time, for some 50 years, and now all this energy, which was somewhere hidden in the city, now bursts out, and then it's changing really a lot.
So, if I could ask you to read a poem, please, Vít.
Okay. Still a few lines to write. Still a last time at the door, glancing back at an unknown woman, a silent evening, we depart. The lamp in the window of the old house at the bus stop no longer shines, yet it's not so long ago I passed through here. It's not so long ago the house still stood, as if the constellations of things around us were ineluctably changing, as if time were turning to us its unknown, shadowed face. Perhaps the border of our knowledge lies exactly here, beyond it only scattered bricks, a rugged terrain.
Thank you, Vít. And do you find that the sense of the connection with Prague, I've mentioned earlier Seifert, Nezval, this very close connection these writers had with Prague, do you think that's somehow threatened by the fact that Prague has become this number one tourist destination and is full of people who are just passing through?
Yeah, in fact, I think so. That's one of the reasons I wrote this book, because I wanted somehow to renew this connection, preserve this connection with the city, and to find the city of my own.
You've described this collection slightly ironically as being a guide to contemporary magical Prague, and you've also mentioned this big influx of tourists in the last years. On the whole, are you happy about these changes, or do you think the nostalgia for what's been lost is overwhelming?
Well, as I said, they are inevitable, and I'm not against them. Sometimes it's a little bit dirty or a little bit wild, but it's a life of its own, and nobody dictates this life, only the people who live in the city, so it goes.
In this collection, which was the last of yours to be published, there are 10 sections dealing with different areas in Prague, and in the end, in the epilogue, you mention the relationship of Prague with
two other major Czech cities, Brno and Ostrava, and this somehow reflects the way Prague's status or situation has changed.
Yes, that's a special thing, this relationship between Prague, Brno and Ostrava, because Brno and Ostrava feel that they like live in the shadow of Prague, that everything is focused on Prague, Prague is in the sun, and they're a little bit upset with the situation. But I think that to live in the shadow can have some advantages. Like Prague also lived in shadow of Vienna for several hundred years, and these were the times of magical Prague, of real magical Prague, of the golem and all these funny myths. And maybe now in the sun it's vanishing a little bit. Yeah, so maybe now we've got magical Brno, magical Ostrava.
Or maybe it's in the suburbs, the places that are less frequented by the casual visitor or the tourist. Are there any places in Prague outside of the centre that you find particularly magical?
One of the questions I wanted to find an answer for was whether this magical Prague still exists or whether it's just a cliché for tourists. And I found really magical places, but out of the centre, because in the centre it's really hard to find these, because there are a lot of tourists, but some other quarters, like, for example, Nusle or Žižkov, which are a little bit off-centre, these are really nice and really magical now, and I would recommend them to visit, really. But not for everyone, I would say.
No, you don't want to attract all of the tourists, or the magic might be driven further. I'd like now to read one of your poems that's luckily in English, because you've just returned from the Gerard Manley Hopkins Festival in Ireland, so fortunately a number of your poems have been translated, and these are from your latest collection, which is yet to be published, called Minium Fields. The day sinks into minium fields of dusk, the way rust forces its way to the surface of things. We became bitter, bound to each other in trenches of unacknowledged wars. Even this moment is an amalgam of icy emptiness and silent joy, the rift we will forever carry in ourselves. This poem, I think, is interesting because it gives a clue to your scientific background, the vocabulary you use. How much has this been an influence on your poetry writing? Because I think you studied, was it molecular physics?
Yes, exactly. I got a PhD on molecular physics, and this education is still visible in my language. And I like this scientific language because it's really exact. And also all my relatives are doctors, so I also use some words from medicine and so on. And especially in this Prague poem, I would say I developed a special language. It's a mixture of these poetic visions and some scientific terms. I find it interesting.
So let's have another poem of these new translations.
Možná, že některé věci dějí se jenom tak, bez hlubšího, skrytého smyslu.
Maybe some things just happen without a deeper hidden meaning. Young women paint their toenails just so they're colourful, and unable to step out of the vicious circle we keep touching over and over again, the same dirty walls, the same mysteriously arranged furniture. There's also a lot of humour in your poetry, and in fact the title of the whole collection is a joke, isn't it?
It's an untranslatable Czech joke, because actually the book has two titles, or a title and a subtitle. It's called Praha zničená deštěm, and the subtitle is Praga kaput regny, which is in Latin, and in translation is something like Prague, Head of Kingdom. But there is a joke that it was translated by a student, and he said, okay, Praga kaput regny, Praga is Prague, it's okay. Kaput is from German, it means that something is destroyed, and regny, it's regen or rain, so it's rain. So he translated it, Prague destroyed by rain. And that's why the book is called Praha zničená deštěm, Prague destroyed by rain, and the subtitle Praga kaput regny.
Do you see in writing your very personal lyrics that you can combine this somehow with bearing witness to the very many changes that are happening around you and particularly in Prague?
I think as any poet in the world, I feel a little bit like an alien, like standing out of the mainstream, and so I'm sort of witness. And I think maybe it's my mission just to somehow preserve the memory of these changes, and it also helps me to find the way.
Your interest in Prague has extended and in fact become something of a family affair, because your brother Jan, or Honza, has been taking photographs to illustrate your collection about Prague. And you've also been collecting the sounds of Prague and have started to put these all together in a combination of visual, oral and literary expressions.
We are preparing this multimedia project, reading of my poems with photographs and the sounds of Prague. And we already tried this and, yeah, we found it interesting. And our intention is to prepare the whole, this book, like a multimedia evening. I hope we succeed and I'm looking forward to it.
Can you tell me a little bit about the sound record of Prague?
Actually, it was originally for Czech radio, for some recording. It was captured by a man from Pilsen named Dominik Machas, and we just were walking around the Prague and he was recording everything, and the result is really interesting. Some sound there of contemporary Prague or everyday life, because he recorded underground stations and people on the street, everything. It was funny but interesting.
So it's on top of this sort of palimpsest that you're writing, maybe there's an echo chamber also of Prague. Thank you very much, Vít.
Thank you too.